Is this okay? The mic's on. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your invitation to us to be here together today and hear your voice. And Lord, thank you for the invitation that you have for us to live a new kind of life in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So it's really exciting for me to be here today, and I thought I would start out by asking you a question, and that is, everybody, I'm going to ask you to think of the answer to this question. So you see this glass up here, and I want to ask you to think in your mind, do you see yourselves as half empty or half full? And so now I'm going to ask and see, like, how many people would say they see themselves as half empty? There's no right or wrong, but raise your hand. Oh, golly, nobody. How many would say you see yourselves as half full? About everybody. And how many did not vote? A number of people did not vote. How many were in the first service? You're the ones who didn't vote. So I wanted to share with you that the Lord has been, just emphasizing to me that there's the third option, and that is we don't really have to choose from a half full and half empty glass. We can say our choice is the third one, the full glass. And I have an interesting little story about this. So I have my husband and I have seven grandkids, and one of our daughters, Elise, recently was having a conversation with her mom, our daughter Christy, and Christy was saying, "Hey Elise, I was thinking today," they live in Serbian Russia. "I was thinking today we could go play with your friends, Jesh and Riken, or maybe we could go to the Mulan Park. What would you like to do?" And Elise says, "Oh, Mommy, I don't think I want to go play with Jesh, and I don't think I want to go to the park. You know those five big mountains that surround our city? That one Marshuk that Daddy climbs? I think I want to go climb Marshuk with you and everybody, our family today. Can we do that?" Well, it would be somewhat of a challenge for her, but that is a typical response. And so Christy's complaining to me, "Mom, she drives me crazy. She always chooses the third option I didn't give her." So I just want to encourage you, choose the third option. Always, because it's the best option that the Lord has for us. So now we're going to go ahead and start our message, empowered and filled. And in some ways, this is what I see as what ties all the messages that we've had on being empowered together, because it is the way that we can actually experientially live the empowered life. And so the Lord has really been speaking to me a lot, this one phrase, only six words, over the last probably year and a half, and it is that it is normal to be full. I was having some time with the Lord probably a year and a half ago, initially in Acts 6 and 7. I read the scriptures through every year and love doing it and hearing from the Lord as I do that. And it struck me that in those two chapters, the word full is used four times. And of Stephen. And it was just interesting because I had never noticed that before. And as I was just asking the Lord, "Is there something you want to show me from this?" His spirit just whispered to me those six words. And I thought, gosh, I'm excited about learning about that. So the past 6 years, this has just been jumping at me off of the pages of the scriptures in many places. And so my sweet husband had suggested to me, when I get so excited about something, I can assume that all of you have been with me on this year and a half journey, and I need not to do that, and I need to break it down a little bit. So let me talk a little bit about what I think the Lord means by what he has been whispering to me. It is normal. And that is, we need to set our expectations for our experience that is normative. I have an example. It's a little bit like the weather. In June in Atlanta, the normal weather is 76, the range is 76 to 93 degrees. That is what is normal. And most days in June, it is in fact that temperature. Now, some days it may be a little high and some days it may be a little low. But what is normal is, in our experience, it may be high and low, but what is normal is actually that range. And I believe the Lord is inviting us to believe that he's going to make our experience match his gift and invitation and expectations. And that is that we can live, that it is normal to be full life. It's a little bit like this. So Edmund Hillary, when he began to envision climbing Mount Everest, he only was able to climb that mountain because he believed it could be possible. And I believe the Lord is inviting us to a new type of experience of our own walks with him, and that this it is normal to be full life is going to be our normative experience more and more. Are we good? Okay, so let's go on to what it means to be full. So your slide ahead, please. Great. So it is normal to be full means Jesus rose and sent the Holy Spirit at Pentecost to fill all believers, which means to indwell, guide, teach, and empower us by imparting to us the life of Jesus. And listen to this. This sounds extreme, but I believe from the scriptures it's not at all extreme. So that every thought, every emotion, every action is dominated, propelled, and permeated by the Holy Spirit. Those three words are actually what to be filled means. So I am going to try to get my slides up here, commercial for just a second, because my computer is not working. So now we're going to talk a little bit about what does it actually mean to be full or filled. Is it a state or is it a process? There are a number of scriptures that talk about that. Acts 13:52, for example, the disciples were continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, this glass only is full because it has been filled, right? And so there's a degree to which the process is always ongoing for us. We are being filled, but because we always are being filled, we are in the condition or the state of being full. So then if you go ahead and look at the other verses, I'm going to read these for just a second, the way I have with frustration been hearing them as I've been reading through the scriptures. And it is not, in fact, how they're written. The disciples were continually half-filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen half-full of the Holy Spirit, Jesus full of the Holy Spirit, Jesus half-full of the Holy Spirit, Barnabas half-full of the Holy Spirit, John the Baptist will be half-filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter half-filled with the Holy Spirit, Paul half-filled with the Holy Spirit, Zacchaeus half-filled with the Holy Spirit, all were half-filled with the Holy Spirit. It does not say that. But I believe that we have been letting this psychological analogy creep, like with almost a mission drift, kind of creep into our spiritual lives. And it is almost as though we have believed that's how we have to live spiritually. But none of the scriptures say that. And in fact, what the scriptures do say is, like I just read Acts 13:52, Acts 6 and 7, Stephen full of the Holy Spirit four times, all four times it's mentioned, Jesus full of the Holy Spirit is prepared in the wilderness and then led to temptation, and he is full of the Holy Spirit in that situation and for his whole life. Barnabas, the son of encouragement, full of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist, Zacchaeus, his father was given, I'm sorry, Zechariah, his father was given the prophecy before he was born, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. And the suggestion is, what we infer is that it's a lifelong filling and a lifelong sense of fullness. Peter and Paul, as they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they speak with courage and boldness. That's actually Zechariah. It's supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then Acts 2, 4, right after Pentecost in chapter 2 and chapter 4, it's not only for those individual people, it's for all the believers. So between reading all those names in the scriptures of people really following God and reading all the believers, like, guys, I think we're in. Don't you think we're in? So I have been so excited about this invitation from the Lord to live life in a new way. And we'll be talking as we go through this message about what it actually means. So let's talk about dominated. Dominated means to be totally controlled by. So the root word for dominated actually means master. It comes from the root same word as master. So as we're living with Jesus as the master of our lives in every way, I think the way Stephen lived, we will be living this, it is normal to be full life. The Lord and the Holy Spirit will be controlling our every thought, every action, every emotion. So the next picture is a sculpture, and it's a sculpture that our son, Sasha, who we adopted at age 14, did for his senior thesis project. He studied art at Covenant College. And I've got to say a little something about Sasha. Greg, when you were mentioning Genesis, it reminded me of it. So we adopt Sasha at 14, by that point from Russia. I speak Russian, and we were going through the beautiful Hermitage in Russia. And there's a section there where Rembrandt's Abraham sacrificing Isaac, the picture is, the beautiful painting is there, but it's a little bit of a scary painting because you see Abraham with his knife in his hand raised and Isaac, his son, there on the altar, but it's bathed in light. So Sasha is rapt. He's an artist. He's rapt before that painting. And I, as the mom, adopting my Russian son that's not a believer at that point that I know of, am so worried about what is he going to think about God. So I go up to him and I say, like, Sasha, do you know what this is? And he says, oh, yes, like, I know this story. And I said, well, how do you know it? And he goes, well, I have a Bible in my orphanage and I've been reading it. And I said, well, why do you think God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son? And he said, well, Mom, I think God was just trying to see if Abraham trusted him to fulfill his promise. And I thought, oh, gosh. You know, it was so clear the Lord was already working in his life. Well, that is the son of ours who God gave this relief to. And honestly, it's good that this is called a relief because the idea of fullness should be a relief to us. I mean, you know, in some ways it's a play on words. But basically his senior thesis is the stoning of Stephen. And when he told me he was going to do it, I said, Sasha, like, I think that's so depressing. Why would you ever do that? Like, why would anybody but your mama hang that in their house? And he says to me, Mom, I think it is not depressing. I think it's actually full of hope. And I never got it until the past year and a half as I've been studying Stephen. And you see Stephen's arms is lifted towards heaven in praise, even as they're getting ready to stone him. And you can't see it that well, but his head is actually turned away from the... he's looking at something different. He's looking at the heavenlies. He's not looking at the person stoning him. And Saul is actually across the way on the other side there. So if you read then from the scriptures, the first thing that it says about... being dominated in terms of Stephen, it was reflected in his reputation in Acts 6. Now when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose because widows were being neglected in the daily distribution between the Greeks and the Hebrews. And the 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, it's not right for us to give up serving, preaching the word of God to serve tables, basically become waiters for the widows. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. So this full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. You can't be full of the Holy Spirit or wisdom, really, to have fullness of the Holy Spirit. It comes along with wisdom. They're linked together inseparably. And it's interesting that the scriptures say 7 men of good repute. So the reputation that Stephen and all those men had was that they were people who lived full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Do you want that reputation for yourselves? Like, I want that reputation. I want everybody I know to think of me that way. And I think it helps us for to have that reputation when we realize it's the invitation the Lord gives us to live that way. So Brian and I were talking about people who are examples of that to us, and there are many. There are many of you that are examples of that to us. One of the ones that really stuck out to us was Billy Graham because of this observation that one of our friends who's his niece made to us recently, and that was, at his memorial service, they were all sitting around afterwards, the family, talking about what was the most singularly unique attribute of his, and it was that he was the same inside of his home and with his family as he was in the world. And right, we have seen that even in our family. My husband's dad and he were good friends, and my husband's dad died about 12 years ago, and he sent us this sweet note. Dick Hillis was one of my best friends, and in my early years of ministry, a great counselor and prayer partner. His faithfulness to the Lord made a lasting impact on my own life. Give my condolences and love to the family. So this comes to the mission organization leadership that Brian's daddy founded, but it's an example of how he was not too busy to stop and do something small, like send condolences to a family. Next slide, please. So dominated in terms of reputation, Acts 6. Now when, wait a minute, we had reputation, availability. We're still in Acts 6, verse 5. Picking up there, What they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, he had that reputation, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. So in addition to the Holy Spirit coming linked to wisdom, the Holy Spirit comes linked to faith. And it's impossible for us to really live that. It is normal to be full of life without being, as we're full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom and full of faith, which is such an exciting way to live. We walk by faith, not by sight. And as they chose them, what is also fascinating is it's not they don't say we chose them and asked them would they help. They had a sense that those people who were already serving God and full of the Holy Spirit would be so happy to serve wherever there was a need. And then that service was anointed with prayer. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed for them and laid hands on them. Many of you are aware that in terms of this availability that we have a large number of children, like 10. And my husband has really spent his life serving us and serving them. And about 3 years ago, they're grown now, we were talking and I was asking, we were talking and praying about, like, what are your goals? What do you feel like your goals are for the coming year? And Brian said to me, well, I think I want to live a do-for year, not a do-year. Like, I feel like the Lord is calling me just to be available to serve whoever comes in my life every day. And he does it all the time. So I think that he's a wonderful, probably he's the best picture of availability of anybody I know. And I want to give one other short testimony because I feel like there's an invitation for someone here through it from my time with the Lord this morning. And it is this. A number of years ago, in 1997 to be exact, I was walking into a monastery to have some time, a weekend with the Lord, and there was a monk standing there who is actually had taken a vow of solitude. He was cloistered, but that day he was there. And as I walked in, he said to me, and some of you have heard this story, quickly, 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 come with me. I have only 5 minutes before I have to sing Vespers. The Lord has me here to pray for you, even though I've taken a vow of solitude. So I follow him. We sit down this little living room place, and he lays his hands on my shoulders and says, don't feel my hands on you. Feel the hands of the Lord Jesus on you. Don't hear my voice to you. Hear the voice of the Lord Jesus to you. I have chosen you to be an instrument of my love in the lives of many children who have been abandoned. Always lay hands on them and bless them in Jesus' name. So then I am weeping at that point. It's only 6 months after we had adopted our first two adopted kids, Anya and Alex, and I'm just overwhelmed at this encounter with the Lord. The scientist in me was 85% believing, and I was thinking, well, I would really like to for the Lord to confirm this with the Word of God. So I, you know, he finished praying, he goes to Vespers, I go to Vespers, and then what the normal scripture reading in Vespers that day was exactly my normal scripture reading this morning. And key, right there in the middle of the verses, was do not neglect the prophetic gift that was imparted to you by the laying on of hands. And so the Lord just was so good to confirm that to me. And part of living this, it is normal to be full life, is we must remember these prophetic gifts and callings that the Lord has given each of us. And there's at least someone here who has a prophetic gifting that the Lord is encouraging you to rekindle, to occupy yourself with, and to walk in, because it is the place of full blessing for you, and it is the place of full blessing for those you're around. And the picture is only 3 years after that, we had already 18 children who had been adopted from Russia that we had prayed into Christian families, and some of the Russian pastors that had helped us were for a visit. So they were visiting, there they are, a lot of them on that boat, and you see the Russian language written down there at the bottom that is just celebrating. It's a picture of a real testimony of what the Lord did. Availability really does change the lives of people. So let's go on to the next part that we see, number three part, where we see Stephen, and we see what does it mean for him to live full. We see this totality. Remember, every thought, every action, every emotion dominated
by the Holy Spirit. The Word of God continued to increase. That's what happens when we live full, when we experience, when we live in the reality that we are invited to. And the number of disciples multiplied greatly. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen and Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, they rose up and disputed. So let's stop for just a minute. It opens with wonderful news, the gospel spreading. And then we hear even more wonderful news. Stephen and his other brothers who were serving with him, they were actually experiencing walking the miracles of signs and wonders into not only the widows, but to the community. It's an among the people signs and wonders. And we recently, this past week, had that same thing happen as several of us were serving in this World Without Orphans meeting here that some of you prayed about. We had one of the key leaders here who God has really used around the world get here and be unable to participate. We were concerned because she had developed shingles. And it was the rash was strong and it was headed towards her eye, her left eye. And shingles can make you blind. She had two friends that have blindness in one eye because of shingles. So she had gone to the doctor before she got on the plane, and the doctor said, tomorrow you have to go to an ophthalmologist because you really could have some danger for your vision. So she went in, we prayed for her in the morning. She went at 2:30, she came back around 4:30, and the rash was gone. And the shingles were gone. And it usually takes 6 to 12 weeks. So I believe when the Lord is using people who are available, we are available for the most simple service. And as we are walking out that simple service, God is doing miracles all around us for everybody that is around that simple service. So it was pretty amazing. So it's not surprising, though, that sometimes opposition comes, as we just read. But what really helps you in the opposition? It's not the weapons of the world, like you talked about last week, Greg. It's the weapons of the Lord, which are they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit. Certainly, Stephen had to be thinking with that wisdom and spirit in order to be speaking with that wisdom and spirit with which he was seizing. But they seize, tries, and accuse him. And as we are really walking in this fullness of who we are, of it is normal to be full, our faces and our countenances change just like his did. And gazing at him, all who sit in that council of enemies, that's who you see sitting before, and that they are recognizing that his face was like the face of an angel. I just long for my face to be that way wherever I am, for when people see me, to see Jesus in me. And I believe this normal to be full life is what Jesus is inviting us to. So dominated in terms of vision. So Stephen does speak, and he actually speaks kind of beginning from Abraham to Joseph, Moses, Joshua, and David. And if you go back and study those Old Testament figures, many of them are people that the Holy Spirit came upon. So we don't really read much in the Old Testament about the Holy Spirit filling people the way he does after Jesus goes and leaves us his spirit. But you do read about the Holy Spirit coming upon people. And those were the kind of people that Stephen was talking about. So now they were not only ticked off, they're enraged. Now they heard these things, they were enraged. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, he didn't say anything about those people are attacking me or you're about to stone me. He said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And then they cast him out and stoned him. So what happens as we're living this, it is normal to be full life, are the things of the world seem small. Even the things that, and in fact, the things that would seem big to most people are in our experience momentary light affliction that are producing for us an eternal weight of glory. Because we see Jesus standing and we are looking up and our eyes are full of him. It just totally changes who we are and how we live. I had such a poignant experience of this at one point after we had adopted our kids. Brian got deathly ill and the doctors thought he was going to die. So here I had just lost a son a year and a half before. We had just adopted two children from Russia who had been orphaned. previously, and I thought, oh, Lord, do not tell me they're going to now be orphaned of their daddy. And so as I was struggling with that, the Lord just supernaturally told me, I've got this. Don't worry about it. And I remember walking into the church I was going to at that time full of joy and peace and confidence. And everybody's coming up to me ready to cry with me, but I was just ready to rejoice. And I said, you know, like if the Lord takes Brian, I know he's going to help me. He helped me with Johnny. And Brian loves him, and I can almost see him at Heaven's Gate now. All he's doing is listening to praise music every day, all day, and he cannot wait. And so I'm fine. But people don't know what to do with us when we are living that it is normal to be full life. I could tell. Like, yeah, it's disturbing to them, but I'm telling you, it is life to us. That is the life that we're invited to. And so I want to share with you this illustration, and I believe it's a prophetic invitation that's a picture. So if you want to go back and read Acts 2, what was Peter saying in his sermon when the Holy Spirit came upon and filled the temple and the place where the believers were gathered, and there began the flames of fire, and they began to speak in tongues. He says, you know, why are you surprised? These people are not drunk with wine. It is just like Joel said in the days, you know, earlier. But you should expect prophecy, vision, dreams, and you should expect wonders in the heavens above and in the earth below, which to me is a supernatural revelation of God in nature. And I feel like we are more attuned to those first three, but I think we often miss the fourth one. And so this was the fourth one category that the Lord spoke to me about on Mother's Day, of all things, that where my kids and I, some of us had gone for a hike, and Brian. So I think of this, if your eye is good, if we are looking at Jesus and really, as we're looking at him, living out our true experience, it is normal to be full. It's like our whole body is full of light as we are living in his fullness. So this is a picture taken at Stone Mountain. It was taken in the shade. I looked through the camera, I set the picture, and we could see none of these light rays as I was looking at it. Our daughter Anya came and took the picture. She saw none of these light rays in the picture. We had looked at the spot where we wanted to take the picture and intentionally were in the shade because it was a little bit hot. None of us, we all confirmed there were no light rays there that day that we could see. But they came out in the picture, and they were so spectacular. A lot of Anya's friends on Facebook have been saying to her, can you tell me what app you used to put those light rays in that picture? Because, like, we want that app. And I'm telling you, our lives can shine this supernatural light that we can't see, and it doesn't matter if we see it. What matters is that the Lord is making everybody around us see it, and everybody around us want it. And it's not only for us, it's for those environments we are in, our home, our neighborhood, our work, our ministry, everywhere that we are. So let's talk about propelled. What does it mean to be full in terms of being propelled? This fullness of propelled is kind of like a full sail, like all of the wind exactly catching all of the sails and causing the boat to just stream ahead quickly in its intended direction towards its intended destination. Or it's like a twig in a river being carried along, or a log. You know, you guys have seen things being carried along by the current of a river. So as we are increasingly recognizing our normal condition of being full, I believe it's an invitation for us to live more and more in this condition of being propelled. And it's this idea of fullness in equals fullness out. Here we see Colossians 2, 9 and 10, in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. It's real. And you have been brought to fullness. You know, we read in John 14 of Jesus' words when he's talking about I and you and me. I and you is Christ with all the fullness of deity. In you, and in you, and in us, and in me, and in everybody online. So as that Christ in us, with all his fullness, is being lived, that's what brings us to fullness. And if that fullness is in us, it actually isn't the intention of Jesus is for it to flow out of us like a living river, like a river of living water. So if we look in John 7, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scriptures say, out of his heart will flow," there's those emotions again, "rivers of living water." Now, he said this about the Spirit, whom those who were believed in him were to receive. Isn't it shocking that a drink of water from Jesus our Savior can turn into a river, a life-giving river? And it is equally true that yesterday's drink does not satisfy today's thirst. So this, we need to be drinking continually from Jesus. And, you know, all of the series this summer, Hearing God's Voice, is going to be talking about that. Greg has, and many others, has spent a lot of time teaching us about how to drink. That is not going to be the intention of this message, even though I would love for you all to go deeper in that. And if you need to learn more about that, come to these Wednesday sessions. We all always need to learn more about it. But I personally get up very early, and I am in the Lord's presence for a good deal of time before I start my day, in the Word, in worship, in prayer, in journaling. And, you know, I just would live no other way. I would, I actually used to tell Brian, I would not mind going to prison like Dostoevsky and Tolstoy, because I could just be with the Lord all day and I would have nothing else to do. But he was just like, "Sweetie, please don't go to prison." So I don't think I'm going to. As we are tasting the sweetness of the Lord's presence, there is absolutely nothing better. Absolutely nothing better. So fullness in, fullness out. And I wanted to give you some examples of this fullness out, because we are propelled in the world to reflect this light that I showed you in the last picture. So I wanted to give three little testimonies of that. The first picture is of an icon, a Romanian icon. And as we remember last week's sermon, Greg was talking about we can only give away what we own. And when we have the peace of Christ in our hearts, because the fullness of the Holy Spirit is ours, we give it away, really changing nations for generations. None of us individually is going to change a nation, but our little part is going to be part of the mosaic God uses to change nations for generations. So this was a conversation I had about 10 days ago from a new colleague who works at the World Council of Churches, and he had just been sent on a delegation to meet with the number two leader of North Korea, which shocked me. I had no idea the World Council of Churches was sending these type of leadership delegations to meet with that level of person in North Korea. But it's normal if you meet with the number one or two person in North Korea to bring a $10,000 gift. And they didn't know what to bring, and they decided they would bring a Romanian icon. It's not exactly this one, but he showed it to me on his cell phone. It looks a lot like this one. And he gives it to this number two person called the president. And the president says, "Can you tell me who is this man and what is the meaning of this gift?" And my colleague Peter said, "Oh yes, this man is Jesus, and he is the Prince of Peace. And we're believing you and the leader of your country are going to be the Prince of Peace." Now, don't you know so much prayer went into that? And don't you know that so much prayer is following it? And then, because the expectation is the value is $10,000 of such gifts, someone came up to him and pulled him aside and said, "Can you just please tell us the value of this gift?" And he said, "If you look, there's no signature, because the person who did this did it for the glory of God. So, in fact, it is priceless." And I just want to encourage you that as we are increasingly living out in our experience the truth of the normal to be full life in us, the Lord is going to bring glory to his name, and our service is priceless, because it is, in fact, what God is using to change nations for generations. So then, taking it to a different level, I saw him, and I heard him talk about doing that, and I realized, Lord, you can begin to bring your fullness through me similarly in some of the meetings that I have to go to. And so one of them was a meeting that I had in Uganda about a week ago, And I was closing it out. It was a science meeting about dealing with AIDS and violence against children, encouraging every person of the 75 leaders there, many government, that they can really change nations for generations. And I was giving them this example. And this is just an article from the newspaper, this little orphan boy saying, I can be president. The face that is circled among the children in the photo is the current president of Gabon. He was adopted from an orphan home and brought up by Umaru Bongo as his son. Today he's the president. No one can change what God has destined for you. So just believe in God. He can change your situation at any time. Remember, your past does not determine your future. God does. And it was so interesting because every eye was on my eyes in ways that it had not happened during those 3 days of science meetings. So I just want to encourage you, like, as we are understanding more of this invitation, it is normal to be full. I believe the Lord is going to open up more opportunities for his fullness to invade the other seven spheres in ways we had not realized. It's not that it wasn't there before. It's that it was not my expectation that it could be experienced in those settings in that way. And so I've given some pretty big examples. This next picture is a very simple example, and I think it's one of the most monumental. Yesterday I was in North Carolina with a 91-year-old woman who was my teacher for eighth grade, and I was with five other people who wanted to go thank her for her legacy and contributions. And parents and teachers have some of these biggest changing nations for generations investments of anyone in the whole world. And it was just such a privilege for us to get to thank her. She loves the Lord and poured all of the fullness that is in her into us, even though we did not know where it was coming from back then. But what we all realized is we learned to write well in eighth grade and believe that our writing could change the world. And you have in that group of people, that has happened. One of them was Bill Clinton's speechwriter, and they've had a lot of other accomplishments in that group. Next slide, please. So we're going to close off with this last truth, and that is being full means to be permeated. Now, pretend I have a Coke up here, and I pop the lid, and I'm going to give it to Tom, and I'm going to say, could you please take a drink of this Coke, but make sure you don't drink any of the carbonated part. Of course, it's impossible. So as we are living that it is normal to be full life, the Holy Spirit is permeating every cell, every ounce of DNA, every thought, every emotion, every action, just as fully as carbonation permeates that Coca-Cola or water permeates a supersaturated sponge. So we'll close with this verse from Ephesians 5, which I really love. And it's, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart, always giving thanks and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So this be filled with the Spirit, it actually has four grammatical attributes that are fascinating. So hold on if you don't like grammar, because the characteristics are very encouraging. The one is that the command is given as a plural, so it's for all of us. There's a degree to which my living in the fullness that is normal influences you and you and you and you and you. And your living in the fullness that is normal influences me and me and me, you know, all of us. So it's plural. It's a command. So it's not like Jesus is saying, do you want to or do you not? It is his command to us in his goodness and in his love. Number two. Number three, it is passive in that I cannot fill myself any more than my car can fill itself with gas. You know, I only can put myself in the position of being filled by drinking from Jesus, and then the rivers of living water are going to flow out. And we've talked a little bit about that, drinking and what that means. And then the fourth attribute is that it is progressive and that it is an action that is ongoing repeatedly today from, you know, in the present and into the future. Go on continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. So as I was preparing this message, I was wishing that I had a perfect example of someone beyond Stephen, and not to embarrass any of you, someone beyond any of you, who seemed to me to embody this being lived with full of the Holy Spirit life. And it seemed to me, Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret, it's a very old book. I read it 30 years ago. I just got another copy and reread it in preparation for this message. But he realized far after his beginning missionary service into China that there was a new invitation for his experiential life, for him to live in the unity with the Holy Spirit and in the oneness with the Lord that he had never realized was possible again before that time. Remember this, setting your expectation for experience to match the reality that the Lord tells us is there. And so after he died, there was a pastor who had spent a lot of time with him who wrote this one paragraph tribute to him. And I would just invite all of us to listen and ask the Lord, make me like that. He was an object lesson in quietness. He drew from the bank of heaven every farthing of his daily income. My peace I give to you. Whatever did not agitate the Savior or ruffle his spirit was not to agitate him. The serenity of the Lord Jesus concerning any matter, and at its most critical moment, was his ideal and natural possession. He knew nothing of rush or hurry or quivering nerves or vexation of spirit. He knew that there is a peace that passes all understanding and that he could not live without it. Did you like that? So we'll finish out now with just the reminder of what the Holy Spirit said to me, these six words, it is normal to be full, that have really changed my life in just in an almost indescribable way. I mean, and it is that all of those characteristics that we're reading about, because they're gifts and invitations, I feel like the Lord is helping me to have reset my expectations and that he is making my experience increasingly match them. So I'm just going to ask everybody to stand up. I'm not going to even ask you, do you want to? And I would love to pray for you as we close out. So, Lord, I thank you that you are inviting us, everyone, and as the body of believers here and as those online, Lord, to live that it is normal to be full of the Holy Spirit life. Lord, we believe that as you are answering that prayer, we're going to see you standing at the right hand of the Father and heavens opened as we have never seen you standing before. And Lord, we believe that all of those momentary light afflictions are going to seem immaterial compared to the when we've been there 10,000 years that we kept singing about this morning, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing your praise than when we had first begun. So, Lord, we just pass on this anointing that you're giving all of us to live the it is normal to be full life. And, Lord, as we go out and leave this place, I am believing those supernatural rays of light are going to be on us in all the situations in which we find ourselves and that your gospel is going to be multiplied. And it's in Jesus' name and for your glory we thank you and pray. Amen.